A new study has claimed that programs such as Paw Patrol and My Little Pony could be making your child prejudiced. The study, titled "Is TV Making Your Child Prejudiced?", has argued that preschool entertainment is guilty of poor minority representation and the use of stereotypes. What do you reckon? What do you think of this at home? 030 30 80 55 55. Just does children's TV need to be more inclusive? Let's speak now to commentators Phil Kelly and Angela Epstein. Good morning to you both.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Angela, we'll start with you. This report claimed that children's cartoons and TV shows fail to adequately represent Black, Asian, and minority ethnic characters, the LGBT community, disabled people, women, and the working class.
Oh, it's absolute nonsense. It's such nonsense. Where to start? Why can't we let children be children? I'm not suggesting for a moment that we do not make great efforts to ensure, as parents, as educators, that we raise our children to be kind and accepting and understanding of all different shades, colours, types of people in society. Absolutely. But why can't we just leave children's programmes to be children about what, you know, let them be produced naturally rather than being used as a vehicle for political correctness.
But how is that a vehicle for political correctness? If, for example, that child watching the show happens to be part of a minority, say, for example, a Black child, why would they not want to be represented on screen? That would make complete sense to them.
I'd love to interview a whole cohort of, say, Black children, as you said. Say, when you sat down and watched My Little Pony or whatever it was, was the first thing that came to mind, why am I not in there? You know, I'm Jewish. I've never thought as a child when I've sat there watching television, why isn't one of the main characters a rabbi or representative of Jewish people? Play and childhood and children's entertainment is that. It's in its purest source, something that brings joy and positivity and entertainment to young children. I read, and I'm not belittling this in any way, because being Jewish, I feel I can say this. I read a quote from Eva Kaur, an Auschwitz survivor who died earlier this last week, and she said she refuses to be a victim. Society's bent on nurturing victims. Now, I know that's a very extreme example, and I say that with the greatest of respect, being Jewish myself. This idea that we nurture victimhood where we don't need to, I think, causes more trouble than it does good. Like I say, as parents, I hope as a parent myself, I have encouraged my child to be understanding and open to all races, creeds and colours. I abhor anything that suggests any kind of lack of understanding of people that have disability or from different ethnicities.
Okay. Phil Kelly?
This is not the way to do it.
Okay, well, firstly, I would say, who would think that more diversity in the media, and especially kids' TV, is in any way a bad thing, and that no section of our community should be invisible. And we've seen where examples of people where they do see themselves, where young kids are dying to see people like themselves. It encourages them. So I'm thinking of the first African-American woman in space, Dr. Jemison, who was saying that, you know, it was vastly encouraging to her and vastly important to her to see people like her on the TV. Now, there was an incident, I think, last year with Thomas the Tank Engine. The producers had signed up with the United Nations in a drive for greater diversity in kids' programming to challenge a number of things across the globe. And they introduced a female African-voiced train. And there was uproar from the National Rifle Association TV station in America, who then depicted Thomas the Tank Engine and his friends wearing Ku Klux Klan hoods. Such was their anger at this. And then I'm also thinking of people from CBeebies, like Sherry Burnell, a disabled woman who was born with part of one of her arms. And when she was first given the job as a presenter in 2009, she faced a barrage of attacks on herself, saying that her appearance was scary, was frightening to children. And the facts over the last 10 years have proven quite the opposite. I mean, I know from my own kids watching that, they never even asked me why this lady has...
Let's address that point with Angela in terms of representation and that creating an understanding, almost an unspoken understanding, in this example, when someone has a disability, a visible disability.
I would hope, as I'm sure the TV presenter, whose name escapes me, apologies, that has this disability, I know exactly who you mean, would think to herself, I hope I got this job because I'm really good at what I do, not because society feels they need me as a poster girl for people who have a disability through no fault of their own, and they've been born this way, or situations have occurred, and what society is doing is they're badging me as somebody to represent everybody else.
But I think
If I may just finish my point for a second, I think that is the worst kind of message we can send our children. I want our children to live in a meritocracy where black, white, whatever anybody is, they get their jobs, they are who they are, because that's...
In an ideal world, Angela, that might actually work, but then when you come down to the specifics, some will argue that it can then depend on who is making the programmes. I'm not talking about these in particular, but in general, who is exactly. are they representing themselves? Are they representing what is normal and regular for them? Hold on, let Angela respond to that. Angela.
Okay, so if you're saying these people who are making these decisions...
I'm just asking the question.
Beg your pardon. If the question is being asked, are these people who are making the decisions capable of doing that, and you're saying they're not, how on earth are we supposed to expect young children watching My Little Pony to make those judgments about what they're watching on the telly?
Okay, so Phil Kelly, you want to back in there?
The argument.
There's a couple of things to unpack there, and you know, one of the important things is this, because whenever people drive for diversity or inclusion in media or any business across society, we're always faced with the argument, oh, but you're only getting that because you're disabled, because you're BAME, because you're a woman, when the fact is that each of these different communities have had to struggle against insurmountable odds just to get there. So in the example of Cherie Burnell, she has proven over 10 years that she is an exceptional presenter who's brought a lot to the BBC, who in the past would have been turned down because of her appearance, because of her disability. It would have been a no-go. And these people, women, the BAME community, LGBT people, have struggled against these obstacles. And there is no bigger obstacle
Phil Kelly, we mentioned that the likes of My Little Pony and Paw Patrol, and then you move into the realm of what we expect children to understand. For example, talking dogs, flying ponies, whatever else. Yeah. A lot of this is fantasy. So are we expecting these programs, though, to educate our children and actually represent reality? Because you could say then, well, we shouldn't have programs which show children things that cannot possibly happen, that are not real, that depict something that is imaginary.
No, because imagination is vital to child development, and that's something that should be encouraged. But what people are saying in this is it's the not just the characters, but the content and the concepts. So, you know, I think one example that I saw was in My Little Pony, you have the wealthier aristocratic princess ponies are all very clever. They're the main characters. And then you've got the mules who are the kind of stupid, downtrodden, representing a proletariat who, you know, are not intelligent or you're stupid. And, you know, it kind of reinforces these things. I don't want to bring Nazi Germany into this, but my co-contributor did. Do not dismiss the messages that children receive, because the Nazis certainly didn't. And if you look at school books from the 1930s in Nazi Germany, you will see how Jewish people were depicted, and that had an important...
Okay, let me put this point to you, Phil. This is a texter, Matthew from Portadown. As a child, I watched wrestling and sports as well as my favourite musicians, many of which are different races than me, and I never noticed it until I got older. He says kids don't care about these things. So are we expecting children to their perception and their understanding to be more than what it is, Phil?
No, because when you take these things, of course there'll be an examples of shows that we watched and that we enjoyed where the characters were not like us, we were different, and you know, we enjoyed that, and we embraced the diversity, and you know, as kids we accepted it. But the overall drive, not just in kids' TV but across the media, shows that working class people, that BAME people, that LGBT people, that women are not represented fully, and that has dangerous consequences. Don't forget this, Finney. We live in a world where the President of the United States is currently standing in huge auditoriums and crowds are shouting back at him his own slogan, "Send them home," in relation to women Congress members. That's deeply frightening, and we have to be aware that when we present kids TV, when we present programs and cartoons, it should be about reflecting the kind of society we live in all of its diversity. So as we grow up as inclusive people,
Let's let Angela back in there.
I think we need to scroll back a bit because this conversation is sort of spiralling into areas that don't really relate to the basic question. I just have to pick up with one thing. I don't really want to dwell on this too much. The Nazis used propaganda for children. They deliberately depicted Jewish people in a certain way so that they would inculcate in them a hatred of what Jewish people, they believe Jewish people to be. So they deliberately cartooned them as stereotypes in order to influence impressionable minds. That is a million miles away from My Little Pony. I cannot imagine for a second that the makers of these children's programs are using them as a vehicle for propaganda to try and develop the notion
that there is a white supremacist
view out there. They are children's programs,
okay.
Children's entertainment. And as your contributor said, who had contacted the program, children, more often than not, are colourblind. They're just watching it because it's exciting or funny.
Let's talk again just about the representation. This study found that only 7% of the content they referenced had an LGBT character or any reference to one. You know, should that be higher, Angela? 7% seems very low. If you happen to be a child that's watching that and you, for example, have gay parents, does that help them in any situation? Is that an opportunity lost there?
No, if it's relevant to the storyline, if it's relevant to making that programme, it's an essential part of that programme because it somehow fits the geography or the jigsaw nature of the programme, that's fine. I cannot stomach this commodifying of sort of victims' rights or minority rights or ethnic rights. And I say that as somebody who identifies as an ethnic person, if you like, for the sake of totting up numbers.
Okay.
It shouldn't be
Let's get some calls. Michael in Bangor. Good morning, Michael.
Hello, Vinny. How are you doing?
Welcome. It's Thursday. I'm doing great. Go ahead.
Vinny, I'm giving you a bit of leeway here because you're quite not as experienced as Mr. Nolan.
Thank you very much. I don't know if that's a compliment or an insult. Probably both.
It's a compliment, sir. It's a compliment. You're doing well.
Okay.
But you have to pull Philip Citizen Kelly there about equating My Little Pony to the Holocaust.
I'm not. I wasn't.
You did, Phil. You did. I heard you.
No,
I heard.
Okay. Well, Michael, you've put that point to him. So let's let Phil or Philip, as you called him, respond.
My co-contributor brought up the Nazis. I wasn't going to, and I certainly don't think it's fitting. But what the point in bringing about the Nazis, it is important what children are exposed to because that makes things acceptable.
Okay.
I think back to kids that we played, or games that we played as kids, cowboys and Indians. You know, there was a Holocaust and a genocide of the Native American Indian. And if you look at American culture from the 1920s, 30s, 40s, 50s, it was about making that okay,
Acceptable. Let's go to John in Lisburn just before the news. John, good morning. Go ahead.
Good morning. Yes, I watch children's programmes on Saturday morning. Some fantastic programmes like Operation Ouch. Very informative.
Do you watch them on your own?
Sadly.
Okay.
No anticipation of grandchildren, maybe.
All right.
No, just to keep informed, because some of the parents my children are growing up now, but some of the parents talk about Peppa Pig being awful and she's very rude. And
Peppa Pig is rude?
You wonder why kids are the way they are. I mean, my day, it was very wholesome, little house in the prairie. And
how is Peppa Pig rude?
All that sort of stuff.
How is Peppa Pig rude?
I don't know. I mean, I'm just telling you what the parents say. I've never seen Peppa Pig.
I have seen it. And do you know what? See, once you've heard that theme tune, it's in your head for about a week. We'll have to leave it there. Angela Epstein
right,
Phil Kelly, thank you very much. 030 30 80 55 55.